Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 326, March is for Mending, Sunday, March 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode includes the following segments: prizes and prize winners, the back porch, mending, on the porch, and off the shelf. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am coming to you from a sunny but quite brisk and cold Yin Hu studio near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, where I live. We have had winter roaring back a bit this weekend after some really balmy days a few weeks ago and earlier in March. March can be like that, especially around here. We were spared the snow of more northern regions, but it was really stormy and rainy and windy yesterday. Today it's kind of warming and brightening up a little bit. I was already into spring mode when it was starting to get warm earlier in the month, and I did a big old porch clean because I love sitting outside on my porch, and it's really impossible to do that in the spring until it's had a thorough cleaning because we are right on the road and the road dust and salt gets absolutely everywhere. And I've also been outside doing some yard cleanup. I really do try to wait many weeks to work in the beds because I know that very beneficial insects are still sleeping in all of the dead reeds and leaves and things like that. And I really try to leave those alone. But we had such incredible winds this winter that we had a lot of downed branches, and so I've been working along the road to clean all of that up and using my new chainsaw that I got for Christmas to cut up and store some wood in our wood bin. So we kind of replenished our supply, and things are starting to get tidied up around here. While I've been working outside, I heard a new bird, new to me bird that I had never heard before here. I am certain I have never heard it here. And the winter wren has stuck around for about 3 weeks now. It has an incredibly beautiful song. I have not yet seen it. I have only heard it. But every week it seems to come a little bit closer to the house and to be a little more social and friendly, similar to the Carolina wren. Even though, in my reading about the winter wren, it's quite secretive and prefers like brushy undergrowth and being in the woods. One source said it acts a little more like a mouse than a bird, often kind of rooting around in dead leaves and stuff like that. But I've heard this wren quite high, and I think it's engaging in its spring mating behavior, which is to sit on a high branch and sing pretty loud. That makes me think that this is a male wren. I have not yet heard a female response, and I don't know enough about these wrens to know if the female really sings and calls in a loud way also. But given the fact that this bird has stuck around for so long, I'm hopeful that it is part of a mating pair and will stay with us for the summer. I'm even more hopeful that the reason we're experiencing some different bird species and also more abundant duck species instead of one wood duck pair I've seen on our creek 3 wood duck pairs. I'm really hopeful that the reason for this is our recent removal of a lot of invasive species and the pains we have taken to plant native species and create a more hospitable habitat for insects and other wildlife. I don't know for sure, but it certainly is gratifying to be hearing some things that I haven't heard before, and really exciting too. All right, the spring equinox has passed us, and that means it's time for me to announce the winner of the quarter one Ko-fi prize. For about a year now, I have invited listeners to support me via Ko-fi, either with a one-time contribution or a monthly membership. And each quarter, I pull a member or contributor as a prize winner for a different prize. And this is an opportunity for me to talk about some products and some people that I'm really excited about and to share those things with you. This quarter, quarter one, the prize was a pair of custom knit socks, machine knit by Sarah of Woolen Waves. And the winner is Jenny/Salmon, who has been a member of Ko-fi for a few months now. Congratulations, Jenny. Please get in contact with me and I will tell you how to work with Sarah to claim your custom fit socks. I will also be linking Sarah's information and her Woolen Waves website. She has some shows coming up. She's been posting really cool videos of her sock making machine and her techniques, and she has products for sale on her website. So I hope you will check it out and maybe share that with other folks who might be interested. Our quarter two prize is being sponsored by Battenkill Fiber Mill. If you don't already, I recommend that you follow Battenkill Fiber Mill and Hudson Valley Textile Project on Instagram and look for their Live from the Mill series. If you don't catch it live, you can rewatch it because they always post their videos. Mary Jean Packer is live often with other guests or workers at the mill. Carol Foster of Foster Sheep Farm is behind the camera, and together they're working to tell you about practices and products in the world of wool in the Hudson Valley. And they have so much amazing stuff going on. There's something new pretty much every time they post a live. And they are working tirelessly with community members and also elected representatives in the Hudson Valley to make wool and wool production a priority and to be great stewards of the land. It is nothing short of amazing how much this group of predominantly women have achieved and how far they go to support one another and help new members and new farmers become part of this network. I really just can't say enough. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I support all of their efforts wholeheartedly. So I will be posting a whole bunch of links in this episode that you can follow if this happens to be the first time you're hearing about this and you want to find out more. In their recent Live from the Mill, Mary Jean Packer mentioned that I would be offering up a skein of their Granville sock yarn that is spun with wool raised by Responsible Wool Standard, or RWS, practices. And skeins of this yarn have been dyed by Lily Marsh, and they've also been dyed by Sassy Black Yarns. It's a 3-ply fingering weight yarn, non-superwash. And the winner at the end of quarter two will be able to have their pick of one skein of this yarn. And if you're interested in ordering more, you can add that free skein in with the rest of your order. So I will link to a spot online where you can see some of these skeins. And I hope that you consider supporting me on Ko-fi if you haven't already. And that means making a one-time contribution or becoming a supportive member with a monthly contribution. Just a heads up that there are a number of dates where Carol Foster of Foster Sheep Farm and Battenkill Fiber Mill will be present at spring shows and festivals. So you can follow them for more information about where they will be and when. Additionally, the Hudson Valley Textile Project annual meeting is coming up on April 17th, and it will take place in Kingston, New York. So if you're interested, it seems like there'll be a marketplace, there will be speakers, there will be a chance to interact with people from the industry, just really lots of opportunities. You should also check that out. March is for mending, and this month I have had in mind a mending project, continuing on a mending project, and I didn't really get around to actually working on it until this week, but then I sort of went crazy doing a lot of mending. Several years ago, I sewed a Cambria duster. This is a really awesome pattern by the Friday Pattern Company, and it has a Creative Bug tutorial, which makes it really a super cool project to kind of up your sewing level, because it is an unlined duster and all of the seams are bound with bias tape. So it's definitely an investment of time and skill, but the overall result is really amazing. And I selected extremely expensive, beautiful in color and drape, Merchant and Mills Woolsey, which is a linen wool blend. If you went to school in the United States, most likely sometime in the fourth grade, you were introduced to the concept of Lindsay Woolsey. And that's exactly what this fabric is. It's this linen wool blend that's light and soft, has a beautiful drape, but because of the wool content, is also quite warm for its weight. And it's constructed kind of like a double gauze. It's gorgeous. And it runs like crazy. It runs like a pair of pantyhose. If you are sloppy with your fabric construction, or like me, you try to make some alterations after the fact, it does not do well with unpicking. And, you know, it wears okay, but probably just not great for outerwear. Nevertheless, I made a duster with this gorgeous, I think it's like a marine blue. It's this gorgeous teal color. And it started wearing thin and having some difficult spots that needed to be mending pretty much as soon as I started wearing it. It's been several years now. I've patched it a couple different times. I've done some weaving, but I continue to wear it and it continues to break down. And I really want to wash this or have it dry cleaned. And before I'm able to do that, I want to make sure it's not going to completely disintegrate. So I'm trying to patch all the bare spots that I can before I clean it or attempt to have it cleaned. And so this week, I really went mad with the mending. And I tried a number of different tactics, including patches. I created patches with very thin, very beautiful Indian cotton. And I had, because it's so thin and so fine, I applied a very light interfacing, fusible interfacing to the back of it to make my patches. And I used embroidery thread to do some seed stitch in some places that needed strengthening. And I also used a tambourine stitch, which I've been seeing on Instagram a little bit, where you do a blanket or buttonhole stitch, but in a circular fashion to, I guess it doesn't mend a hole or anything, but it's kind of ideal for the problems I'm having with this coat because it reinforces weak and thin spots. And you could even do the tambourine stitch over a piece of fabric or a patch and use that stitch to anchor it down. So I have been working primarily on the shoulders and the insides seams of the sleeves and doing a great deal of highly visible mending. And I will share some pictures with you on the website, and I included some in the cover for this episode as well. I think by the time all is said and done, this coat may end up being more patches than bare fabric, which is kind of an interesting idea. And, you know, this notion of like an ongoing mending project is sort of inviting, especially if I can get it clean, because I've been wearing it for quite a bit and I really do want to freshen it up quite a bit. I didn't think of doing a snow cleaning on that, which is a missed opportunity because I think the wool content would have responded very well to being washed in the snow. I've been thinking about mending a great deal, not only because of this project, but also because Orange Coffee, Art, and Music in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, will host Cal Patch and a mending workshop on Sunday, May 19th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I have been coordinating with Cal to arrange for this workshop. She teaches three different kinds of mending, so it's a great way to participate in something social, to learn some new skills and share ideas, to actually bring mending in and get some done in the shop during the workshop, and to help me celebrate my 50th birthday, because Cal's appearance coincides with an Art of Fiber show that I am working to put together at Orange with fiber and textile artists from, you know, all different backgrounds and working with different media. The opening for that show will be Saturday, May 18th, and I will be celebrating my 50th during that time. And then the following day, Cal will be visiting Orange to lead her workshop. I will put a link to where you can find tickets for Cal's workshop. I'm super, super excited to welcome her to Orange and for her to share her expertise with you. So if you are local to Delaware Water Gap, or you will happen to be traveling through during mid-May, you are invited both to opening night at Orange and also to register for Cal's mending workshop the following day. One of the reasons that I thought about mending for a while before actually starting it is that I have been working so hard to complete my botanical sweater in beautiful Tidal yarn dyed by Patricia of Tidal Yarns. This is yarn in two colors, fingering weight, that I purchased at Rhinebeck. And I had the idea to use the Darta sweater as a pattern base, but to add color work. So to omit a lot of the details of the Darta sweater that I knit as my Rhinebeck sweater, and to use kind of like the numbers and the yardage and the shaping that I really liked to create a color work sweater where the color work appears around the body of the sweater instead of the yoke. To do that, I use the Pusteblumen chart. This is a chart for a dandelion motif. And there is no regularity to this color work. It's not a Fair Isle or Scandinavian motif. It's kind of like a literal interpretation of a small patch of grasses and weeds and dandelions. And it's 44 stitches across. So in order to knit this sweater, I played around with that color work chart and reduced it to 40 stitches. And I repeated it 5 times around. The chart is, I think, upwards of 80 rows tall. And I did do some reduction of the chart there as well, because I wanted the motif to be centered around my midsection and not climb too high above the bust. I have knit Darta this time as a cropped split hem sweater in stockinette instead of reverse stockinette, of course, for the color work, with 3/4 length sleeves. And one of the details of the sweater is twisted rib at the hem and at the sleeve cuffs and also at the neckline. I chose to re-knit this sweater because I was so impressed with the fit. The neckline shaping and shoulder shaping are really exquisite and elegant in my opinion, and I enjoyed them very much when I knit this the first time. I needed to unknit and re-knit quite a bit because of the difference between the structure of Patricia's title yarn with the wool that, like, the jumper weight yarn that I had been knitting before. And I needed to go up some needle sizes for the color work and down some needle sizes to do the plain stockinette. And because I was making so many adjustments, there was some like trial and error and unknitting and re-knitting there. But I am extremely pleased with the finished product. It is so beautiful. And it works so well with something existing that I have in my wardrobe, my mostly handmade wardrobe, which is an Amy jumpsuit hack. I hacked the Amy jumpsuit into a sundress, and I have made several. And this one I sewed in a lilac color double gauze. The Amy jumpsuit is a Closet Core pattern. It's probably my favorite garment pattern of all time. I just love the fluidity and wearability of it. And I have made several and have plans for more. This jumpsuit hack into a dress just improves the ease of wearing a bit, because there are some situations where you really don't want the difficulty of a jumpsuit. And I've made a couple different versions of this dress. So I love the way they pair together. I posted some photos in the show notes, and I will also be posting a video on Instagram. And all of the details for my knit are included in my Ravelry project page for this sweater. I relied very heavily on the detailed notes I took the first time I made this sweater, and then added additional details about knitting this sweater. And I like the way this stretched me. So there was comfort in the fact that I had knit this pattern before, But then the added challenge of the color work, manipulating the chart, and working with, as always, as I always do, a finite amount of yarn and making it work. I used all but about a foot of the main color of yarn. I would have liked to make the sleeves a little bit longer, perhaps, but you know, that's what I get for not buying another skein. And it works very nicely as a spring sweater. I don't think that the cropped length will warrant wearing with jeans or pants or anything like that. For me, it works best over dresses or jumpsuits, anything with that long fluid line. You know I'm a fan of this look, and it's kind of a very comfortable type of staple for my wardrobe. Now that I've completed the botanical sweater, I want to start on another knitted garment, but I'm stymied a bit because I had a pattern in mind and yarn in mind, and it's becoming increasingly clear that they might not work so well together. The reason for that is that Mary Beth is already done, probably, with knitting the Katsumi sweater that I plan to knit. And she shared with me that she thinks it's really more appropriate for a spring or summer weight yarn, something with a bit of plant fiber in the mix, something lighter weight, something that isn't 100% hand-spun wool, which is what I was planning to use to knit this project. So Katsumi is the sweater I want to knit, and Lenore is the handspun I want to use. And now I really have to go back to the drawing board to be able to make garments with both of these because they're not going to pair up. Which one will come first? I don't know. But I'm still interested in knitting that Katsumi sweater. I think it would be really nice for spring and summer, and I love the combination of the wide rib and the little bit of lace that's not extremely feminine lace. So we'll see. In the meantime, I continue to work on my sock knitting. I'm knitting with long stashed graffiti and asphalt yarn. It's this beautiful speckle dyed that changes color pretty much every stitch. I'm knitting using my Blackthorn needles, which are precise and pointy, and I just really enjoy knitting a sock with those. And after knitting quite a long cuff, these will be socks for me. I'm excited to wear them with my Briar clogs. I decided on a Eye of Partridge heel as opposed to a traditional heel flap because I think it shows off the colorway more effectively. And then since I was changing things up, I also decided to do a gusset, double gusset on the bottom of the heel. I have worked this a number of times in the past, but it's been quite a while since I've done this type of double gusset. And I have, I guess my status with this is I have both cuffs and legs done. And then I have both heel flaps done. And on one sock, I have picked up stitches and I've begun working the double gusset. So I continue to work on those as I think over what to do with upcoming knitting projects. I have also been continuing with my 100 days of spindle spinning, and at this point I'm working on my third of three spindles, beautiful Turkish spindles from Jenkins Spindles. I have an Aegean, which is the largest and perhaps my favorite. It's an excellent spinner. And it holds quite a good quantity of spun singles. I have the Lark, which is a little bit smaller than the Aegean, and it has the most beautiful wood of the three. It's made of Osage orange, and it is, of course, a wonderful spinner, but I would still say that the Aegean outranks the spinning, the sleekness of the spinning of the Lark. And finally, today I just started using my Cuchulu, which is a very small spindle. It spins quite fine. Its spinning trajectory is better than I recalled. It really keeps spinning for quite a long while, despite being such a small size. And so I'm working on spinning a set of Rolex. This has a much smaller capacity, the Cuchulu, so I might be able to spin about a Rolex and a half before I have to stop, remove the singles, and then start over again. And after that, I will be needing to make some more Rolex out of my considerable and assorted fiber stash, because that's the end of the Rolex I have. And I'm spinning now sort of like ratty and bedraggled looking Rolex because they've been in and out of storage bags. And they don't look pristine and wonderful, but they spin up just fine. I'm working toward a combination spin with just wildly varied finely spun singles, and I will determine when I begin to ply them if I make a 3-ply or a 4-ply, or even if I work some commercial yarn into the plying. I'm not sure. But it will be like a wild and crazy combo spin when I eventually get to the plying. Right now I'm still in the spinning stage. I even took a little 3D printed Turkish spindle on an overnight field trip so that I could get some spinning in without taking my Jenkins spindles with me. They're portable, I suppose, but they're just so beautiful and carefully made that I don't like to travel around with them too much. For Off the Shelf today, I'm sharing a poem from the March 2024 edition of Poetry Magazine. It's titled "The Last Hummingbird of Summer" by Beth Ann Fennelly, and she hails from Oxford, Mississippi. This poem has an audio version accompanying it, so I will link to that in case you want to hear the author reading her own work. I have not yet. If there's audio content for a poem, I usually wait to listen to it until after I have read the poem to you on the podcast, just so that I can work on developing what I believe are my own cadences in reading the poem to you. But I've been thinking, of course, about birds, bird life, the fact that the hummingbirds are coming back soon, and the title of this poem just caught my eye. I think Beth Ann Fennelly does a very interesting job of combining different themes within the context of this poem. So here is "The Last Hummingbird of Summer" by Beth Ann Fennelly. The last hummingbird of summer reveals itself in retrospect. Unlike the first, whose March arrival bade you gasp, hands clasped like a child actor instructed to show joy, when the last departs for Point South, there's no telling and no tell. Well, so what? You know their cycle. In August, they swarm the feeder, all swagger, greedy tussle for sugar water. Suddenly, September. Chill tickles your ankles. You reach for long sleeves and you fret. They've left? Not yet. Ear cocked for the symphony's shrinking strings. Then comes a day without a ruby flash. Next day, they're back. Next day there's one, then none. or maybe one. From porches, pumpkins grin. Your last had left and left you uninformed. Kinda, sorta, can I say it, like menstrual blood again between your legs. Your last, perhaps, or next to last, you're no longer very monthly, so unlike your first crimson at 12. It's, yes, you are there, God, annunciation. Well, so what? You know the cycle. Your body's eggy miracle, unneeded now for years. And you hate waste. Why fill and dump and fill again the undrunk sugar water? Enough. Let's progress to whatever season's next. But still, a farewell ritual wouldn't be amiss. The last hummingbird of summer, zinging from the feeder to others, a smooth departure. To you alone, unmistakably dipping its wing. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week that includes time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.